I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Mornings are hard. Your sports radio show doesn't have to be.
I'm so happy you guys are still alive.
I am excited.
I am so happy.
Laugh and learn every morning aboard the mothership.
Ooh.
Gonna be a good day with DA.
Hey, duh.
I do love the duh.
Happy being alive day.
Mornings on CBS Sports Radio.
Yeah.
Gonna have a good day around here. Sports radio can be so intense, so argumentative, so political, and we are here on the DA show to relieve you of all of that every single morning, Monday through Friday, 6 until 10 Eastern Time, 3 until 7 Pacific. On the CBS Sports Radio Network. Why wake up and have somebody yelling at you? Why wake up and have people arguing over politics? Why wake up and do that to your brain? Be here. Have fun. Laugh. Learn. Be kind. It's better that way. And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. When you want the ability to adjust your loan options in real time, Rocket can. Coming up this morning here on the show, this hour here on the show, we are stunned to news. Coming up in 20 minutes from now, in 40 minutes, an update on our NASCAR challenge. You might remember earlier in the summer, we had one of our loyal D-Alien listeners, Dylan, who is a huge NASCAR fan, say, you know what, you guys could get into NASCAR by applying your personality traits to certain drivers and vice versa, because NASCAR was the first sport back and we were talking a lot about it and everything that was happening around Bubba Wallace, etc. So we were talking about it and he said, you know, you guys should really adopt these drivers based on your own personality. So Dylan did a great job saying, this guy's for you, this guy's for you, this guy's for you. And we said, okay, well, let's have a season long competition here and kind of track it. We'll have the standings where we sit in this chase coming up here in 40 minutes from now. Also, we've got Santana Moss, a member of the Washington Football Radio Network, coming up here a little over an hour from now. Santana watched last week as Ron Rivera, with an emotional day, he's dealing with chemo as he coaches this team, takes an IV at halftime, and Washington rallies behind that to come back from a 17-point hole to beat the Eagles last week in week number one. Plus, we'll go around the NFL with him. Santana Moss coming up here next hour on the show. But I want to talk about the Clippers right now, because as Los Angeles is now home for the summer, gone fishing, now we're getting the obits on them, what their season was and what the bubble was. And the Clippers all season long, once they acquired Kawhi and Paul George, it was all in right now. It's kind of hard to wrap your mind around this because it feels like it's only been about 5 minutes since Kawhi Leonard's been a Los Angeles Clipper, but this is a two-year deal and they're on the clock for next year. The way that this came down was, I think even Kawhi Leonard was a little skeptical on whether it's going to work, and he did not want to commit fully for a long-term deal in Los Angeles, even though the Clippers, I'm sure, wanted that. So what they have in LA is Kawhi and Paul George have player options to get out of these deals and become free agents after next season. So if it doesn't work next year, they can both fly the coop. Now think about the cost of acquiring those two guys. The Clippers traded to the Thunder for Paul George 3 first-round picks for George, 2022, 2024, and 2026, because you can't trade ones in back-to-back years. They also pick-swapped in between, so 2023 and 2025. That means that over the next 5 years, starting in 2022, the Clippers will not own their own draft pick, and in 3 of those 5 years won't have a first-round draft pick. They've also traded away this year's first-round draft pick to supplement the roster. So until 2026, they've got one first-rounder of their own. If Kawhi and Paul George do dart at the end of next year, not only are they left holding an empty roster without those two guys, they won't have draft picks to be able to build back. Guys, this is staring into the Brooklyn Nets abyss. When they acquired Kevin Garnett and Paul Pierce, thinking we are going to be good right now, we're going to gain attention, we're going to gain relevancy, we're going to try to win a championship right now, and we'll deal with the future when the future comes. And when the future came and they didn't win anything with those two guys, it was a cold, hard, bleak couple of seasons. Well, the Clippers are staring at that. If they don't win something next year and convince these two guys to sign long-term. And here's the problem. If it was just basketball, if it was, all right, we need a little bit more here, we could try to swap a trade there, try to sign a guy here, even though they don't have a lot of roster flexibility, it'd be one thing. Maybe if you even said, hey, let's add a different coach here. But Doc Rivers is just as accomplished as Kawhi Leonard in many ways. And Doc Rivers is more accomplished than Paul George. And are you going to get rid of Doc Rivers after all that he's been through with that organization and blame it on him? It's not actually about the basketball, seemingly. It was about the chemistry. Here is AP writer for the NBA, Tim Reynolds, who joined After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
I just wonder if there was a point when the Clippers were like, this is not fun anymore. This is a game, and it's got to be fun, and you have to love it. I didn't see the Clippers playing with any joy in Game 5, Game 6, Game 7. Frankly, I didn't see a lot of joy from them in the Dallas series. I saw a lot of aggression. I saw them going at Luka a few times. I didn't see them enjoying it in the first round. I didn't see them enjoying it at all in the second round. And so, I mean, even the way they went out tonight, there was no urgency in the fourth quarter. They were going through the motions. And I mean, that game was still in the balance. They were only down 8 going into the fourth quarter. Right. They were playing for their season, and they had nothing left. They had no spark, no fire whatsoever. I just wonder if they just mentally broke in here somewhere along the way.
Great job of the guys behind the glass, Billy Jock and PDB, getting that audio. Tim Reynolds, AP writer, that was on After Hours with Amy Lawrence right here on CBS Sports Radio. And he's not the only guy that said this. As they've written the obits on this season about the Clippers, you're hearing this more and more: chemistry problems. That these guys were not having fun. They didn't enjoy playing together. Montrezl Harrell calling out Paul George in Game 2 of this series. Reports that he said, oh, you're never wrong. Nobody can tell you nothing. Paul George admitting that he went into the tank earlier in the postseason, that the bubble got to him, that he went to a dark place. Kawhi Leonard's an emotional robot stripped away of all of his personal and human characteristics. Uh-oh. So this would be different if this was just a basketball thing. But now you're hearing a lot that this was not a basketball thing, this was a chemistry thing. This is a heart thing. This is a desire thing. And there is something fascinating about this when it comes to Kawhi Leonard. Kawhi is so good. And Kawhi is so down the middle. And Kawhi is so robotic. And Kawhi is so unemotional. And Kawhi, I mean, we poke fun at him because he doesn't even know how to laugh like a normal Homo sapien. He does not know how to conjure the normal human emotions. But when a team needs juice, when a team needs fire, when a team needs togetherness, you can't look to Kawhi. That's not who he is. In San Antonio, the Spurs are or were a machine. They operated because Greg Popovich had created the perfect system. And Tim Duncan wasn't emotional, and Kawhi Leonard wasn't emotional. And you got some of that from Manu Ginobili. You got some of that from Tony Parker. You got some of that from some of the other pieces that you build around. But the Spurs were built through the Popovich mold of, this is how we do it. This is how we do it. This is how it's done. We win this way, and we'll continue to win this way if you do it this way. In Toronto, the emotion didn't come from Kawhi Leonard. The emotion, the guts of that came from Kyle Lowry. The leadership came from Lowry. The leadership came from Serge Ibaka. The leadership came from Nick Nurse. Those are the guys that provided the fire and the leadership, and this is how it's going to go down. This is what we do. And Kawhi fit in, because he's not going to step on toes and he's not going to call you out and he's not going to get into a fight with you. Kawhi fit in because for one season, he was a hired gun. He was an assassin. He was a mercenary. But if you're trying to build a culture in Los Angeles, because remember, they don't have anything there. This is almost an entirely new team, certainly an entirely new nucleus and core. Who is there to build that? Paul George ain't that guy. He's just not that guy. He's never been that guy. He's a good player. He's not that guy. Not a guy that can go for 10 points in game 7 of a second round series. That's just not your guy. And so where do you go? And I think that in and of itself is the big thing. Say what you want about LeBron, and people won't ever give LeBron some credit because he's not Michael Jordan and because he doesn't have that same killer instinct according to some people and yada, yada, yada. Some people don't like his politics, yada, yada, yada again. But look, at the end of the day, LeBron demands that you follow his lead on the basketball floor. He has dragged carcasses of rosters of the NBA Finals. The 07 Cavaliers were an absolute joke aside from him. Look at those Cavs teams that got to the finals when Kyrie and Kevin Love were injured, when Kyrie wasn't on the team anymore. I mean, you know, LeBron just basically willed them and said, this is how you do it. J.R. Smith, this is how we do it. Tristan Thompson, this is how we do it. Matthew Dellavedova, this is how we do it. This is the culture. This is the expectation. This is what we do. Kawhi's not going to do that. He's not wired that way. So for the Clippers, chemistry, accountability, the culture, that's the missing ingredient here. And you ain't getting it from Kawhi and you ain't getting it from Paul George, and you have to have that. Look, I think, and I don't want to put Giannis on blast because he's 25 years old and he's an amazing player. And, you know, I think he's still learning. But, you know, Giannis isn't that type of guy either. These are rare types of guys where you are the superstar, but also it is follow me, this is what we do, this is the culture. This is what makes Patrick Mahomes so incredible, is that even at his young age, he is great at it is, here's how we win. We're going to win, you follow me, and if you don't want to win, we don't need you. You tell me how many guys do that. That's what makes you the all-time greats. Like the LeBron, like the Michael Jordan, like the Kobe Bryant, like the Tom Brady, like what Patrick Mahomes seems to be becoming. This is how we win. This is how we do it. This is the culture, and we do it every single day. And the Clippers didn't have that. The Clippers don't have that. And Mraz, quite frankly, I don't know how the Clippers get that in 1 year, because if it blows up in their face again next year and they don't win a championship, Kawhi and Paul George may be as good as gone, and then you've got no draft picks over the next 5 years to try to build it back.
It's just amazing that we've gotten here in over a year, and I know everything has been crazy in real life with 2020, but it seemed almost too perfect that Kawhi was going to go back home to Southern California. He handpicked Paul George, and that was it. This was going to be a superstar league that now the big threes have been knocked out. It was all about big twos. And the idea that we have gotten here, that after 1 year where they had a 3-1 series lead in round two, seemed to be on a collision course with the Lakers, that we are talking about dysfunction with the Clippers to the point they may not even get through a year two if the locker room continues to unravel and people don't trust Paul George. It's just, if you take a step back and just overlay and take a deep breath and not live everything day by day, you realize what a colossal potential mistake Kawhi Leonard made in his career by choosing to go play for the Clippers. But I guess maybe it's not that big a colossal mistake, because as you allude to, it's the Clippers who will suffer, right? Because if we get through the end of next year and both these guys bounce out of here, Kawhi could easily find a new home and new superstars to play with and go win a title somewhere else. It's really those Clipper fans who have just been longing to finally have their say and compete with the Lakers, and everything is falling apart at the seams after one season that was supposed to be the most historic Clipper season we had ever seen.
That franchise is going to be in a bad way a year from now if they do not win a title. I mean, maybe they can convince Kawhi to stay long-term if they make the NBA Finals, but if they end up losing again to the NBA playoffs next year and it's difficult or the chemistry's bad, Kawhi's not going to want to just stick around. He's proven he is not the type of guy that's like, I'm going to stick it out here, we're going to build something here. He's just going to go where he's happy or he wants to play or what he feels is best for him. He can be a mercenary with the best of them, so he doesn't have that thing in him to just stick around and see out the bad times. He'll bolt, and if he bolts, the Clippers franchise has no way to build back. I mean, they'll have money, I suppose, but they'll have no draft picks, and they'll be once again back to an also-ran, and then who's going to sign with them? I don't know. It's bizarre. I mean, the good thing for them is that Steve Ballmer's sinking a ton of money into a new arena, into the practice facility, and trying to rebrand. So they'll always have an owner that wants to invest in the infrastructure of the team, and then somebody might be wooed to go there and try to do it themselves. But, boy, without those draft picks, and if those two guys bolt, that the Clippers are going to be bad. And I wonder what would have happened had Kawhi just joined the Lakers. I mean, could you imagine this year if it was LeBron, AD, and Kawhi, which was on the table last offseason? I don't think there'd be any chance for the rest of the NBA. No. I think that it would be just a walk in the park to win an NBA championship. But also, Kawhi would be collecting more rings to add to this resume that he has. And maybe that would be the perfect thing for him to just kind of be a secondary kind of passenger on a team that wins a lot of championships. I don't know. Maybe he wanted to do his own thing. There were thoughts that he didn't want to be in LeBron's shadow. But I wonder if Kawhi regrets today at all doing what he did, if the chemistry on the Clippers was that bad that everybody's reporting now after they lost.
Yeah, and he doesn't have to prove to anybody that he has to be the number one guy anywhere, because he's already done that. He was that dude in Toronto and already won an NBA final. So as far as I'm concerned, and I'm sure public perception would be, yeah, you wouldn't want to see Kawhi go take the easy way out in another year and team up with an aging LeBron or Anthony Davis or something like that. But if he does bail after next year and the Clippers don't win anything, you can't point to Kawhi and say, well, when he wanted to be a man of his own, he couldn't get it done, because he already did that. So if it's him and this dysfunction continues, why not go somewhere and go? Maybe he teams up with Giannis or something like that if this doesn't work out somewhere, because the NBA is a traveling circus. But forever, because Kawhi did that with Toronto and won a title as the guy, he doesn't owe it to anybody to have to prove he's the guy again with another team.
The Clippers stories that just kind of avalanched yesterday were just all about chemistry being that bad. And I don't think that just comes out of thin air when everybody starts reporting it. When we come back here on the show, we are stunned to a news. How about a Malaysian student having his cell phone ripped away by a monkey? who begins to take selfies. Yes, this is the most 2020 story ever. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
It's the DA Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Remember, the DA Show has a podcast every single day. If you want to listen to the show on your time, whenever you want, you can do so by simply going to your favorite podcast platform and searching the DA Show. Subscribe when you find it. Rate and review it. That helps other people find it as well. We appreciate it very much. And listen to us when you want to listen to us in podcast form. Also, the best of the show is basically consolidated every single day to about a 1 hour. So you can listen to us in condensed form and speed through the DA Show, the very best of, the best cuts, if you will. Also, the PGP is out, the Permission Granted Podcast. We taped that after the show yesterday, the show about the show. This Sunday, an NFL on CBS doubleheader with the early games highlighted by an NFC matchup between the Giants and the Bears, along with the Broncos squaring off with the Steelers. Then in game two, Patrick Mahomes and the defending Super Bowl champion Chiefs face the Chargers, or the Ravens taking on the Texans. It all starts with JB and the guys on the NFL Today. Noon Eastern, 9 Pacific, Sunday, CBS.
CBS Spectacular, yeah!
As I talked about here on the show, I've done a feel-good moment on Twitter and on Instagram in honor of Little Mo. Feel like these days everything is just so negative on social media. Why not provide a little bit of a smile? So yesterday, in honor of the Nuggets advancing, I went through some cool old Nuggets photos on the internet. And boy, I found the best LaPhonso Ellis poster. It's LaPhonso Ellis, early 90s, wearing the Lego City uniforms, just jamming, just throwing down a slam, and it is a beautiful poster. If you're like me, of a certain age bracket, probably in your 30s or 40s, you definitely had old school, big time posters on your wall, sports-wise, that were big and flashy, big fonts from the 80s and 90s, and this one was it, LaPhonso Ellis throwing down in the Lego City uniform. So I posted that as part of the Good Mojo series on Twitter and on Instagram. And lo and behold, LaPhonso Ellis reached out to me. He's like, dude, thanks for the love. I appreciate that. I was like, no problem. I'm like, congratulations to the Nuggets. And he is so fired up for his former team advancing to the Western Conference Finals. You know, the Nuggets are an interesting team because they've been around for a while. You got to go back to the 70s where the Nuggets were a member of the ABA and then came into the NBA. But they've never won anything. They've never been to the NBA Finals. They were in the ABA Finals. But they've got a fraternity of guys that have played for a long time for that franchise in that city, and they really love what they're seeing. And it's kind of amazing. It's a little bit like the Kansas City Chiefs, where for years the Chiefs were good but not great and always had a but. And when you think about the Nuggets, the same type of thing. They have their moments. I mean, Alex English and Kiki Vandeweghe back in the 80s and then into the 90s, the Dikembe Mutombo team that knocked off the one seed, the first eight seed to beat a one seed in the 94 playoffs, when they knocked off the Seattle Supersonics, and Dikembe's laying on the ground with the basketball. Fast forward to Carmelo Anthony and them going to a Western Conference Finals, what, 15 years ago or so now, a little bit more than that maybe. And fast forward to now, where they've got a good young nucleus. There's guys that are loyal to the cause and love that team, and they're so thrilled and proud that they're doing it right now. So pretty cool. You can check that out on my Instagram page, at Damon Amendo. Follow me there, and every single day I post pictures that make me smile, that hopefully will bring a smile to your face as well. Good chance to just kind of be happy and take a load off and enjoy something usually a little retro and sports-wise. And I found a great screenshot of Dikembe and LaPhonso Ellis in NBA Jam. And that's a phenomenal duo right there for the NBA Jamsters of the early 90s as well. So I posted that there as well. So you can check that out as part of my Instagram stories, at Damon Amendo. But cool that LaPhonso Ellis decided to reach out and say hello, and thanks for the love. Standing by with our headline this morning is Andrew Bogish. AB, good morning.
DA, good morning. I just pulled up that 93-94 Nuggets team because, like you, that was my like NBA heyday, early to mid-90s. And Dikembe laying on the court celebrating that win in Seattle is one of like my prominent memories from that time. And that Definitely. Team was so fun. And there's so many interesting names on that team aside from him and Ellis – Robert Pack was on that team, and for some reason, Robert Pack was always awesome in NBA video games. Like, I always had Robert Pack on my team because somehow, I don't know if the programmers like NBA Live liked him, but he was always ridiculously good. Bison Dele was on that team,
too.
Brian Stith. Yeah, rookie Rodney Rogers. That was a really fun team, that 94 Nuggets squad.
If I'm not mistaken, too, the Seattle Supersonics had won like 60 games that year. They were a machine. And they won the first two games, I believe, in Seattle.
Yeah,
and then
of a five-game series.
Right, a best of five. They won the first two. So they had three shots to end the eight seed. And the Nuggets went back to Denver and won at Old McNichols Arena games three and games four. And then a deciding game five at Key Arena in Seattle was the shocker of all shockers because it was going back to Seattle. And this kind of very limited offensive team led by Dikembe upsets George Karl and Sean Kemp and Gary Payton and that great Kendall Gill, that great Sonics team. And he's laying on the ground on his back with that basketball. Hey, that is, you're right, it's such an indelible image. And that Nuggets team, I forget who they played in the second round, but that was such a fun run in that first round.
And now your headlines. They're sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Drivers who save with Progressive save over $750 on average. Call or click today and find out if we could save you hundreds on your car insurance. Dodgers manager Dave Roberts has been waiting all summer to hear these words. The Dodgers clinched a playoff spot.
Didn't know that, but that's the first step. So proud of the guys.
Roberts unaware that the Dodgers clinched a playoff spot with their 7-5 afternoon win in San Diego yesterday. Must be nice to not have to care about such things. Eighth consecutive season they have reached the playoffs. The White Sox could have clinched as well, but they lost at home to the Twins last night 5-1. The Giants won a road game in San Francisco 9-3 over the Mariners. Those games were moved from Seattle because of the poor air quality there due to these devastating wildfires. The Yankees fought off the Blue Jays 13-2 to win a seventh consecutive baseball game. The O's beat the Braves 5-1. Kyle Gibson the complete game. His Rangers a 1-0 win in Houston. And the Mets rallied past the Phillies 5-4, but Jacob deGrom left after allowing three runs in two innings with a right hamstring spasm. These six Pac-12 schools in California and Oregon got good news from their state governments yesterday. There's now nothing really holding them back from playing football. The conference already has an agreement for daily rapid result COVID-19 testing. If the Pac-12 changes its mind on football, its calendar could look a lot like the Big Ten, since they're playing Ohio State, likely to get back guard Wyatt Davis, who opted out of the season just a few days ago. But cornerback Sean Wade might be an issue because of a relationship with an agent. Wade and Davis were headed for the draft as projected first rounders. LeBron again, Luka for the first time, both named first team All-NBA yesterday. James selected for a record 16th time overall, breaking his all-time tie with Kobe, Duncan, and Kareem. Anthony Davis, James Harden, and Giannis complete the fivesome. There was no NBA or NHL action last night, but there was a hockey trade, the Wild sending center Eric Staal to Buffalo for center Marcus Johansson. When the Browns host the Bengals tonight, Cincinnati president Mike Brown will miss his first regular season game ever. The 85-year-old Brown only missed a 91 preseason game after his father Paul passed away, but he is staying home tonight because of COVID-19.
Boy, concerns. What an interesting anecdote that is. Mike Brown is largely seen around the NFL as the cheapest owner in all of the NFL, and you would think because of the Bengals' dysfunction and because he's so cheap that he's totally detached and not invested emotionally in the team. But the fact that he has never missed a regular season game and he's 85 years old suggests the opposite, that he's totally invested in the team, just not financially. Emotionally, he's there, or at least physically he's there, but just not financially.
And I think the year is 1968 that Paul Brown founded and started the Bengals. So this is a streak that dates back, 40-plus years.
By the way,
50-plus years.
That snake from yesterday got impregnated.
Exactly.
The ball python and Mike Brown taking over the Bengals at the same time. Wouldn't you have just loved to have won the genetic lottery, the Powerball lottery, where your dad founds an NFL team and you just kind of like grow up around the game, and that eventually when he passes away, you just get an NFL team? Like, this is going to happen with Jonathan Kraft when Robert Kraft finally passes, and, you know, maybe not you know, maybe there's going to be a few years before that, but Jonathan Kraft's already in a position of power. This happened with Mark Davis. You just get to inherit an NFL team and then move them to Las Vegas. It happened with Mike Brown. Oh, Paul Brown passed away. I get the team now. This happened with the Bidwells in Arizona. I mean, like, half the league is just an inheritance. Mraz, I can only imagine, had Bob the Deli Man actually been Bob the Giants Man or Bob the Mara Man, and you inherited the Giants, could you imagine your life?
I mean, so you mean if my dad wasn't cutting liverwurst and then waited till he was near 60 to build a backyard bar and I actually could make some NFL moves? Yeah, my life would be awesome. It would be unbelievable. I don't know that every Giant fan would love it because I feel like I could become very Jerry Jones-like and unhinged when I took over the team. But, I mean, that would be unbelievable. Do you imagine Papa Mendo on the Mets? I mean, how great would that be? You could be Jeff Wilpon.
Go up and down the list. I mean, Jeff Wilpon is a great example of this. We're all like, what a stooge. He's only there because his dad bought the team. He has no business running a baseball team, but here he is messing everything up, and it's only because he won the gene pool lottery. This happens time and time again. Like the Rooneys, the Maras, it's just a family business. Like, those guys didn't do anything to get the team. Their dads or their grandfathers did. Imagine just having a family business and it happens to be an NFL team. Oh, yeah, back in 1920, Grandpa started the Giants for $100. So, right. Yeah, you know, Granddad started the Steelers for $150. And, you know, I just get to run them now. Like, just how mind-boggling that is that happens with sports all the time.
And how do you focus in school if you're one of those kids knowing that your path has already been laid out? You're going to own the team when your dad
You don't.
Does.
Most of them are doofuses. Most of them are Billy Madison doofuses. I mean, seriously, like, this is the inherent issue with nepotism, is that your dad or your mom does everything to earn the family wealth and the family enterprise, and you do nothing knowing there's always the security blanket. Like, for so many of us, if you don't do it yourself, you don't got nothing. There was nothing for me to inherit from my family. No, there still isn't anything. I mean, there was no family business. There was nothing there. I had to do it myself. And you guys are the same way. Like, Mraz, there is no, maybe you would get grandfathered into the Food Town deli line. I mean, maybe, but outside of maybe getting to the front of the Food Town interviews for the deli counter, there's nothing for you to inherit job-wise. There's no family enterprise there.
No shot. And even if I did want to come there, my father said, you want to work with me, you better go work somewhere else first. And that's how I ended up at another sandwich place in Subway and had to prove my worth that I knew what I was doing with turkey and lettuce and tomato and all that. So I even couldn't even just have trial runs with him. I still had to prove my deli worth at another place selling deli meats.
I had no idea. This is the most amazing twist of this story. So you could have began at the Food Town deli counter cutting cold cuts, but your dad said, no, you got to go to the minors. You got to go strike out on your own, son. You got to go cut deli meat somewhere else.
Yes, absolutely. It wasn't even about the cutting deli meats. He's not going to bring me in and have everybody look at him going, oh, you're just giving your son the first job. I had to go prove and build a resume before I would end up working with him.
Yes.
So and I padded my resume. By the way, I lapped him. Subway was a very more prestigious job than Food Town. I mean,
I don't know about that. I don't know. I don't know if I could agree with that. I
love the fact that this is like a dad who's like a football coach and his son is good, but he's like, listen, I can't recruit him. He's my son. So like the assistants have to figure this out. Bob wouldn't let Sean come in right away until he was universally good enough.
Oh, it's just amazing. It's like, you know, Herm Edwards having a son. No, you ain't going to play for me, son. You better go play at Iowa State or somewhere. You got to go prove you can do it somewhere else.
Oh, back to headlines. There's 14 first-time eligible men on the Football Hall of Fame ballot. The group headlined by Peyton Manning, Calvin Johnson, Jared Allen, and Charles Woodson. 130 names total. That's cut to 75 in November, then 15 in January. The class is picked, like usual, during Super Bowl week. The U.S. Open at Winged Foot is just about an hour old. Brian Harman has the very early lead, one under through two holes. Jordan Spieth tees off in just a few minutes. Then Tiger Woods, Justin Thomas, and Colin Morikawa at 8:07 Eastern. Tiger embarking on what could be a long 4 days.
This golf course is going to be one of the more difficult ones. The winning scores here have never traditionally been very low. I don't see that changing this week.
Dustin Johnson, Phil Mickelson, and the scientist, among those playing this afternoon. And now, a Thursday stunner. Woo-hoo!
It doesn't take much to surprise this bouncing baby boy.
This is honestly the most stunned I have ever been on the show to a news.
The DA show is stunned to a news.
I'm a little stunned that DA gave away the whole story in his tease to break last segment. A 20-year-old man in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia, woke up Saturday and realized his cell phone was missing from his bedroom. The case was under his bed, but the actual phone, nowhere to be found. There were no obvious signs that someone had come in and taken the phone, so obviously they were very confused. The next day, his dad saw a monkey in their backyard and something made him suspicious, so they began searching the jungle behind the house. Again, this is Malaysia. They called the phone.
Sounds like where
from
I live.
The brother's, from the brother's cell phone, heard it ringing in some mud under a tree. So now they had the phone, but how did it get from the bedroom out into the backyard jungle and some mud? The answer was in the photo album. The thieving monkey took a selfie on the phone. And no joke, I hope Kaplan can put this at watchda.com and we can tweet it out. I mean, it is a full-on, perfectly posed and framed selfie from this monkey on this guy's phone.
This monkey is just staring directly into the phone. And you're just looking at his beady little eyes and his big snout. And it's kind of like a Kardashian selfie. He's kind of doing a little bit of a pose for the camera.
What's that called, a duck face?
Yeah, he's doing a bit of a duck face. In this case, a monkey face. This is incredible. I mean, what a stroke of luck that the ringer was on. If it was on vibrate, you're never finding that in the mud.
That's a good point. And a lot of people still will get mad if you text them, like Pete can text Bogus early in the morning. So if this person was of that elk and wanted just to have his phone on silent, he never does see the selfie and we never get it. What I do find really interesting, though, I was under the impression that a primate's thumbs weren't like our thumbs. And you need like real thumbs to take a selfie. Is this just the most astute primate of all time?
I don't know if you need opposable thumbs to take a selfie, because if there's just the one button on the bottom, you could just poke at that with your index finger.
But yeah, picture the grip you need to hold the phone and then use that thumb to wrap around to hit the selfie. I mean, we've all been there taking the selfies. For this primate to have done that, does a primate have five fingers or is it like four fingers?
No, it's five. That's how we grew out of monkeys to become who we are.
All right, I didn't
right, but and to correct Sean's button. First thing, their thumb works like ours. That's one of the clues to evolution, is that they have thumbs like ours. Most other animals don't have thumbs, so they have thumbs that are useful for opening up cell phones as well. Now, apparently,
well, I'm going to backpedal before I have an evolution history lesson and just let you take it from here, Bookish.
I mean, that's why, like, when you watch your dog or your cat, like, when I watch Rosie the cat paw at, like, a ball or something on a string, I'm like, boy, it really bums me out that she doesn't have a thumb. It must bum her out, too.
To throw you a curveball?
Have a catch with Rosie.
Come on,
in the backyard.
Throw it here, throw it here. Where's your damn thumb?
Yeah. So on Tuesday, when Rosie and I were playing wiffle ball in the backyard, I'm like, Rosie, if only you could get the split finger here, it would really help me out.
Over the fence again.
Your control will be so much better.
I mean, Rosie's rolling it to me, throwing it over my head. I'm like, come on, can you get into the strike zone here, Rosie? And she's batting at something the other day. And, you know, it's like when you wear mittens or you've got, you know, something on your hands like oven mitts and you really can't do anything with them. I'm like, boy, you know, the thumb is such a big thing. Without the thumb, you're just clutching your way through everything. So the monkey's having the thumb is huge. Also, this guy said that they went through the photo gallery and saw a video on it where the monkey was trying to eat the phone. So could you imagine scrolling through the videos and then you click on it and here's a monkey eating the phone?
I mean, what would have broke this story wide open is if this monkey released a sex tape too. I mean, that would have been something else. Nice.
I gotta say, monkeys are delightful in many ways, but monkeys are also slightly terrifying in many ways, because You know, for the rest of us here in the States, like, what's the worst that you're going to live around? You could live around a bear. That's bad. A bear being around, you know, getting into your garbage or finding something to eat. That's bad. But, you know, there's no critters around your house that are going to cause, like, chaos and a ruckus and do things like steal your cell phone and bury it in the mud. You know, that's just not a threat that most of us here in North America have. Could you imagine, Mraz, if you also had to deal with, like, monkeys swimming in your pool? Or monkeys like hanging out at Blob's Bar and cracking in. You know, you thought the pool guys that drank all of your Kona seltzers were bad. The monkeys would be doing that every single day.
Could you, you're right. Could you imagine waking up for that Sunday brunch at Bob's Bar and you go back and there's just monkeys hanging off the awning, taking the TV off? Because I've been to Six Flags Safari plenty of times. They eventually had to put them behind a fence because they would come and break off antennas on cars and just jump. And it used to be part of the fun, but your whole car would be damaged. License plates would be falling off. They could be very, very reckless. They can. So I think I'd sign up for it all if I got was a phone stolen and I got it back and they just wanted a selfie.
That is Stunned to a News. When we come back here on the DA Show, we continue on a fine Thursday. Santana Moss is going to join us coming up a little bit less than an hour from now to talk about the NFL. We continue to do so next. And your NASCAR chase standings from us, the DA Show. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Big upside.
You know, DA, as we all get older, you know, you look back at the young party days, those were like our wienerships. And as you get older, maybe the getaways with your friends become a little calmer. That's what yesterday felt like. It felt like a maturity experience.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Our toll-free line is 855-212-4227, sponsored by Geico. Did you know that right now Geico is offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies? That's on top of what Geico could already save you. What are you waiting for? Visit geico.com to learn more. So one of our listeners, loyal D-Alien, Dylan Clinton, wakes up and listens to us every single day. And earlier in the summer, when there was no sports, he heard us talking about NASCAR, because NASCAR was the one sport that was back. And he said, you know what? It would be really fun, since I'm a huge NASCAR fan, if you guys adopted drivers and we followed them throughout the NASCAR season. I thought that was a great idea. He said, NASCAR is always more fun if you talk to any NASCAR fan. NASCAR is always more fun if you have a driver. I said, you're absolutely right. Something to root for. So he identified the drivers that are most closely associated with us here on the show. And he was just brilliant about this. He said, for Mraz, Jimmy Johnson, he picked two drivers for each one of us. Mraz, Jimmy Johnson, because kind of like Mraz's beloved New York Yankees, huge expectations, delivered a lot of championships, but Jimmy's fallen on hard times in NASCAR, kind of like the Yankees haven't won the World Series since 2009. He also said Kevin Harvick for Mraz, because with Mraz being a sandwich artist, it could be natural to select the driver with a sandwich shop as his main title sponsor. He said, for Bogus, Ryan Newman, because Ryan Newman is known on the circuit as kind of the smartest guy, graduated from Purdue, degree in engineering, and, you know, Bogues has that Fordham degree. Also, he said, for Bogues, Denny Hamlin, because they share some similar traits. Denny Hamlin's main sponsor, FedEx, consistently delivers strong, consistent finishes, kind of like the kind Sir consistently delivers well-thought-out, in-depth headlines. For Pete the Body, Kyle Busch, because this guy's got juice, the same thing that Pete always wants.
Damn right.
He's nicknamed Rowdy, and he kind of felt like, you know what? An outspoken guy like Kyle Busch would be a great WWE wrestler. And, of course, Pete the Body loves WWE. And also Joey Logano, because Logano appears to share what Pete felt fictional character Luigi needed, respect from his peers. Logano always looking for that. And he said, for me, Clint Bowyer, because Clint Bowyer's very proud of his Kansas roots and had a small foray into broadcasting when he was an analyst before races. And I, of course, spent time in Kansas City. And also Austin Dillon, because as NFL Films guy, he said Austin Dillon has a nostalgia factor with the number 3 car because that was the Dale Earnhardt car. So all of these connections are so smart and so cool. So Dillon actually put together a point system for us and tracked us throughout the regular season. Now, the regular season's over, and the points basically reset. So when we come back, we will let you know which show member here had the best duo in NASCAR over the course of the regular season. Who won our chase for the championship next?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.